The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Welcome back to The Dory Monson Show. I'm Jack Stein. I'm filling in for Mr. Dory Monson this afternoon. Let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top trending.
Been a lot of attention being paid to the debates this afternoon, as I knew that there would be. A lot of fixation, though, on kind of the latter half of the debate. That's when we got into more kind of United States-centric. There's a lot of topics in regards to the U.S. healthcare system, stimulus bill, Heroes Act, race in America. All of it very kind of very heated topics for people. People get very kind of tense when these things get brought up. And in particular, I've noticed that this half of the debate has been focused on for people who are undecided voters. So I've been scouring the internet trying to find posts that people have made where they've said, I am an undecided voter, and this is how I viewed the debate. I personally don't understand how someone could be an undecided voter at this point. I would love to find that unicorn, which I had no idea was that, is particularly in this debate. I had no idea that you would still be out there saying, well, I just don't know who I'm going to vote for. I just have no idea. So as I mentioned previously, the second half of this debate seems like where the most amount of attention is being paid. In particular, there's a tremendous kind of back and forth about race and Trump saying that he was the least racist person in the room, saying that Abraham Lincoln was probably the only president who was less racist or wasn't as much racist. You get what I'm saying. But here's a clip of Biden calling Trump Lincoln racist and a supporter of the poor boys.
Abraham Lincoln here is one of the most racist presidents we've had in modern history. He pours fuel on every single racist fire, every single one. Started off his campaign coming down the escalator saying he's going to get rid of those Mexican rapists. He's banned Muslims because they're Muslims. He has moved around and made everything worse across the board. He says to about the poor boys, last time we were on stage here, he said, I told him to stand down and stand ready. Come on. This guy is a dog whistle about as big as a foghorn.
Come on, man. This guy's about a dog whistle, about as big as a fog. I'm really quite fond of the Joe Biden. Come on, man, because it just kind of dismisses anything that you could say after it. It's a good line, though. I don't think that he wrote it. Dog whistles as big as a foghorn. But Nicole, you and I have played this audio before of Trump. He's got 2, maybe 3 minutes of audio of him saying that he denounces racism. He doesn't like it. He denounces the KKK. He believes that America is a place for everybody. So this attempt to make Donald Trump into a racist. I'm old enough to remember that allegedly George Bush was a racist both times he ran. I'm old enough to remember that John McCain was a racist, according to the people in the media. I'm old enough to remember that Mitt Romney was a horrible racist who, by Joe Biden's own words, was going to put everybody back in chains. I also remember him being a horrible sexist, even though he'd been married to the same woman for forever. So I'm told constantly that there are these big, evil, mean people out there that have just been fooling everybody. Somehow Donald Trump has just been fooling everybody since he got into office that he's actually not a racist. As I've also mentioned previously, I've not known a racist to just not come out and say it. I've not known someone who holds those beliefs to just not come out and say that they feel that way. If you watch any documentary, I've never seen a documentary made about a secret racist. It's always about these, you know, losers who go out, the skinheads and the guys in the KKK, just total losers. Every documentary I've ever seen, these guys are loud and proud about it. So I fail to see any evidence whatsoever to what Joe Biden has just put forth there. Additionally, if you want to talk about big bad guys, if you want to talk about people using control to coerce people, using the power of the state to coerce people, Joe Biden says that he has not ruled out another shutdown. Here's what that sounded like.
But you haven't ruled out more shutdowns.
Oh, well, no, I'm not shutting down the name, but there are, look, you need standards. The standard is if you have a reproduction rate in a community that's above a certain level, everybody says slow up. More social distancing. Do not open bars and do not open gymnasiums. Do not open until you get this under control.
that's a really soft-handed way to address the issue, which is that lockdowns are not just someone going around saying, hey, come on, man. Hey, come on, man. Social distance more, man. Hey, come on. You shut that gym down. No, they're mandates, right? You have to. You can't open your business. It's not this kind of, hey, go along to get along. Would you please? We'd really appreciate it. No, it's fines. It's citations against your business. So his effort to kind of skirt that question, it doesn't fool someone like me. In fact, I've been saying this for some time now. If he feels that way, he should just say it. People would give him much more credit if he just said, yeah, I'm in favor of lockdowns. I'm totally in favor of shutdowns. If that's what we got to do, that's what I'll do it. That's the way you do real, authentic politics. But you can see how transparent he is when he does this kind of slow Joe kind of, yeah, hey, man, come on, man. You got more social distancing. Got to slow it down a little bit. We're not ranging cattle. We're not taking cattle across the plains. We don't slow it down a little bit. This is an economy. People's lives depend on it. So this idea that we're going to kind of, hey, come on, man. I don't buy it. You also notice there, I hate to talk about someone else who also has a speech impediment. I overcame a speech impediment when I was young. Comes up sometimes, particularly when I get nervous, get a little anxious. It flares up. I noticed this in particular during Joe Biden's kind of longer 2-minute moments. He would get a little bit locked up, and I found this kind of tension around that moment. And I don't know, maybe it's because I got a bit of a bias for Joe Biden because I'm sympathetic to him, but I'd be rooting for him. I'd be like, please finish that sentence. Please finish that sentence. But I was not inspired by the visual of Joe Biden last night. I was just simply not inspired by it whatsoever. And in fact, when Trump again brought up the fact that Hunter Biden made a lot of money from Ukraine, that moment in particular does not inspire confidence in me. Here's that clip of audio saying that Biden made money from Ukraine.
You do. I don't make money from Ukraine. You do. I don't make money from Russia. You made $3.5 million, Joe, and your son gave you. They even have a statement that we have to give 10% to the big man. You're the big man, I think. I don't know. Maybe you're not. But you're the big man, I think. Your son said we have to give 10% to the big man. Joe, what's that all about? It's terrible.
If I was an undecided voter, what I would be looking, and this is my assumption. So imagine me, Jack Stein, hypothetical, undecided voter. I'm looking at Donald Trump, who's had a tremendous amount of negative press over the last 3 years. Some of it deserved, some of it not so much. And then I look at Joe Biden. I look at this new leak, this new information about potential corruption. I feel like I'm picking between two evils, right? Again, this is me, Jack Stein, undecided voter, hypothetical person, not really me, but just if I had to pick. So now I can see how someone might be convinced to just not want to vote at all. Someone say, well, I'm just not interested in voting for either of these characters. But we've been told that this is the most important election of our lifetime. So before I get to the people who I was actually able to find statements that they made in regards to being an undecided voter. Let's go back into this is a continuation of an argument between Donald Trump and Joe Biden about Russia collusion, Russia hoax. Here's what that sounded like.
Joe, they're calling you a corrupt politician.
Nobody.
Hey, President Trump, I want to stay on the issue of race. We're talking about the issue
from hell.
President Trump, we're talking about race right now, and I do want to stay on the issue of race. President Trump,
you have to respond to that.
Please.
Because look,
very quickly.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plan. They have said that this is has all the care. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly what.
This is where he's going. The laptop is Russia, yes. Russia,
gentlemen,
Russia.
I want to stay on the issue of race.
You have to be kidding. Here we go again with Russia.
Heated, really heated. I get the impression that these are two people who do not like each other very much at all. I don't talk to anybody like that in my life. And seeing that, you could just see the disdain they have for one another. I think it's because they each represent something very different. Donald Trump represents a very capital, pro-business, kind of, I don't know if you want to call it totally nationalist, but he's very much so that guy. Very capital, money-making. In fact, at one point in time, he said, a vote for me is a vote for success. And then you have a Joe Biden on the other side of that who's saying, hey, you know, I'm here for the working guy. I've been around for 47 years. And I haven't, doesn't really have a whole lot to show for it, but that's what he's bringing with him. He's saying, I know the system, I know how to work it, I will be better than this guy. And the final clip we have here is that Trump saying that in regards to international relations, that China is now paying farmers for the work that they do. Here's what that clip sounds like.
What specifically are you going to do to make China pay? You've said you're going
First
to make
of all,
them pay.
China is paying. They're paying billions and billions of dollars. I just gave $28 billion.
New sanctions?
I just gave $28 billion to our farmers.
Taxpayers'
China,
money.
It's what?
Taxpayers' money. Didn't
no,
come
no,
from
yeah,
China.
You know who the taxpayer is? It's called China. China paid $28 billion, and you know what they did to pay it, Joe? They devalued their currency, and they also paid up. And you know who got the money? Our farmers, our great farmers, because they were targeted. You never charged them anything. Also, I charged them 25% on dumped steel because they were killing our steel industry. We were not going to have a steel industry.
Okay.
And now we have a steel
okay.
industry.
Okay. Vice President Biden, your response, please.
Our response is, look, this isn't about there's a reason why he's bringing up all this.
You can just sense in the room there is this odd tension between these two gentlemen. Nicole, if you will, you watched some of the debate as a lady. What was your impression of it as a woman? What was your impression of what did you see? What was going on? What was your takeaway from it?
Well, there was definitely a difference in the two debates. Obviously, everybody. Well, I thought Trump settled down. I'm not sure that Biden settled down, but Trump being a little calmer and just getting a little frustrated kind of made all the difference, I think, in that. But Biden definitely seemed a little more worked up and angry at times. But then the thing that he did the most often that kind of drives me crazy. It's like having an argument with maybe like my brother or something where if you're the angrier you get and then they laugh at it to dismiss it, that drives me insane. So whenever somebody laughs at me getting angry or me getting frustrated or, you know, anything like that, it drives me crazy to see somebody laugh when they're talking about something serious, obviously when something is not supposed to be funny, but they're laughing because it's, you know, to dismiss it, even though it doesn't mean anything. You're not saying what he's saying isn't true. You're just laughing, trying to dismiss it. Right. So that drove me a little nutty on the Biden side. I don't know. I have thought Trump did better than the last time. Obviously I thought he probably, made the best points and had them in that cut that we played specifically. I mean, it was very backed by numbers and facts rather than Biden, who didn't have a lot of those, I felt. But you know, I don't understand who is waiting to make a decision based on the debates. I don't know what good they do.
Yeah, there was a moment where I thought that Biden was the most disrespectful. And if you go back and watch the tape, right when they're talking about coronavirus and they're talking about Donald Trump is saying, this is everything that I have done for coronavirus. There's a moment where Joe Biden does that exact thing and he looks down and he starts laughing. And I thought, hey, man, hey, come on, man. The president's trying to explain to everybody. He's trying to make his case as to why he handled COVID-19 well. He's talking about the ventilators that he got to different states. He's talking about the protective equipment. He's talking about the stimulus, talking about all these ideas. And to do that kind of very childish and juvenile thing, to look down and to laugh, is pretty disrespectful considering the amount of effort that has gone into containing coronavirus. Conversely, there was some times where Donald Trump looked very frustrated himself. He looked very kind of flustered. It wasn't a fair match, I think, in a lot of ways. I don't think that we really got to see what Donald Trump had to offer as a president, nor do I think we really got to see what Joe Biden had to offer as president. And a lot of people have written in, and they have different kinds of perceptions of this. One person wrote in and they said, I thought Trump was an embarrassment when he said that only those with the lowest IQ show up back to court when seeking asylum. That is actually something that he said in reference to the catch and release program.
Yeah, that made me cringe a little bit.
He said only the people with the lowest IQs show up back to court when seeking asylum. I think what he was trying to say is that only stupid people go to court, or he's trying to say that only someone who is naive would go back to court. But it did come across as being really kind of not the best word.
I know. I think he was meaning to be more PC by not saying stupid, maybe, but it came off worse than if you just said most people don't return.
Yeah, this woman goes on to say how absolutely and disgusting and ignorant to say of people who fought for better lives for themselves and their families. Trump was disrespectful, outright lied multiple times, and just a nightmare to watch. I screamed at my phone, cried once. See, this is where people take it too far. I've never been that angry at a politician. I've never been that angry at a politician where I've thrown my phone or screamed to the heavens and said, why, God, why is this happening? Another gentleman wrote in during the debate and he said, I know what Trump is going to do. As for Biden, he is all over the place on what he's going to do. He says one thing, then denies that he said it. He pretty much put his foot in his mouth last night. Besides, I can't vote for anyone that tells me that the American people that we don't deserve to know what he's going to do with the courts. Trump isn't perfect, but he does get things done and he will get my vote. As far as who will win, Nicole, being that, you know, this is the end of the big lead, I am so, I have looked at so many polls at this point in time, so many projections, that I have no idea at this point in time. If Donald Trump wins it, I would not be surprised. If Donald Trump takes it away, I would not be surprised. If Joe Biden wins it, I wouldn't be surprised either.
I've said this before, but I don't give anything to the polls. I don't think that, number one, most of all, I don't think that conservative people answer their phones if the number is unknown, or stop on their way outside of grocery stores and answer poll questions. Or if they do answer as they leave a poll, they probably lie just to mess with them. I mean, I know those people, right? So I don't buy the polls at all. And obviously that's, you know, evidence is the 2016 election. But on top of that, the more that I think about it, can't imagine people that voted for Trump in 2016 being somehow more inspired to vote for Biden. I just don't see him as an inspiring candidate. So I don't know who you're taking from Trump. And then anybody who didn't vote, I guess there's a few, probably some new voters that might sign on and vote for Biden, but then I also think some might sign in and vote for Trump. I don't see anybody that voted, you know, or that caused the vote to go one way in 2016 being inspired by Biden, more inspired than Hillary. You know, I just don't see that as a possibility, but I don't know. Maybe they did get the 18 to 21-year-olds that couldn't vote in the last election. Maybe there's enough of them to sway this, but I don't see anybody over that age changing their votes much from 2016.
10 days. 10 days is what we got left. I'm Jack Stein. I'm filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. I'm Jack Stein. I'm filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. I do have a YouTube channel. Two words, human genius. You get to see my beautiful face. Easy to find. Got a text message here from 253. It's about the last topic, talking about President Trump, talking about who you're going to vote for, Joe Biden, the debate. 253 writes in, Jack, you are the greatest radio broadcaster of all time. No, I'm kidding. It says, Jack, I am still legitimately an undecided voter. As a whole, I'd like to live in the America that Donald Trump promises, and for the most part, has been delivering on. But I'd also rather live in a country where he is not the president. Not because of his character, not because of his demeanor and his character, but because of the way he has changed all of us. I hate the divisive America we are in. I hate that many of my friends found out that I am on the fence about voting for him, they will hate me. I also live in Washington, Seattle, and I have seen the Democrat platform and how disastrous it is. I had the witch hunts, the distortion of the media against Trump. I hate how the public opinion was changed towards law enforcement and how Biden will do nothing to resurrect that. Well, 253, I will say this. I understand the dilemma that happens between wanting to not have to vote. I get that dilemma very much because it feels like for a lot of us in the lost generation, millennials, if you are that, that we have been told now that we are supposed to pick the lesser of two evils every time. And that's getting really old. That's getting really tedious, I think, for a lot of us to be told, well, you're not actually voting for somebody. You're not actually voting for their values or for their platform. You're actually voting against the other guy. And that sounds pretty rough. Sounds pretty bad for us. Because I've been hoping for a candidate that really inspires not just one side of the aisle, but both sides of the aisle. I've been really hoping for that candidate. And I was told it was going to be Barack Obama back in 2008. I was told that Barack Obama was the purple candidate. And he was going to be the guy, and we would all celebrate. And that didn't happen. So now I'm at a point where I think, well, what's next for us in the political landscape? The lost generation who care a tremendous amount about our country and care a tremendous amount about what goes on in our states and with our fellow citizens, but we're being told that we have to vote against somebody else instead of for somebody. I don't have a clear answer for you, 253, but I'm in the same boat with you, and it's a pretty rough one. Speaking of same boats,
hey, really
turns
quick,
out the United
Jack.
Oh, sure.
I just had a thought about that really quick. I think it's giving Trump a lot of power to say that he has destroyed this, like he's made this mess, because I think that he is definitely a part of it. But I mean, you kept mentioning the word dilemma, and I do think everybody should watch The Social Dilemma. But that is a big part of why things are different now. And it's not just Trump. Trump contributes, sure, as do, you know, Facebook and Twitter and a lot of, you know, celebrities and everything we're exposed to right now. It's a different world than it was years ago. And really, this is not new to have corrupt politicians, to have, you know, presidents that people don't agree with. It's not new. It's just different because of all these other things. And I think giving Trump that, you know, credit for that is a lot of credit. Because I think it is, he's one of many things that has changed us as a society.
If people had to evaluate Donald Trump just on paper, solely on paper, if you listed off all the things that he's done, I think that he'd win this election in a walk-off. I think if you just stood him up next to anybody else, just on paper, no names, no party affiliation. If you read, oh man, he changed the labor industry down in Mexico by having the Mexican government adhere to higher labor standards. Oh my God, that's amazing. He's made a cruelty towards animals to be a federal crime in all 50 states. Oh my God, that's amazing. If you were to say, people who are suffering from a terminal illness, if their insurance company wants to pay for an experimental treatment, the FDA can't come in and prevent that transaction from going on. These are amazing things, right? These are amazing advances in the culture of the United States. But then you add into that the comments and the texting and the braggadocio and the everything that comes along with that, and it outweighs it. And it's truly unfortunate. It truly, truly is unfortunate for Donald Trump. And you could even look at, well, hey, moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, brokering all of these peace deals, doing a tremendous amount in just 4 years, doing a tremendous amount, and then also dealing with COVID-19. And everybody out there who's got Trump derangement right now, their head is just absolutely exploding. But
I think there is some balance too, because what you're saying, you know, based on this election, he would win this election based on, you know, his list of accomplishments. The last election, I don't know. I think he's probably right. He got to the White House because of his demeanor and his anti, you know, government stance. Like, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to be like the rest of them. So it helped him once. I don't know if it'll help him this time, but I think that it's not surprising. It is the way it is. We end up, you know, we're raised differently. And so I do think it's partially, you know, us 80s babies and the millennials that are out there that are different than the last generation. And that's part of, again, what makes us all extra emotional, extra angry, extra everything because of social media, because that's how we've been raised. And I've gone on this rant before, but we all just need to be better consumers of the news and worry about what actually impacts your life.
I like, you and I've talked about this a couple of times now about being a better consumer of the news. And a lot of the people in my social circle say, well, how can you say nice things about Donald Trump? And I say to them, well, I am a conscious consumer of the news. I want to read all sides. I want to understand all sides. I'm not just going to do this thing where I sit down and watch CNN and Rachel Maddow and Don Lemon on a nightly basis and then say that that's the basis for my political platform. That's going to be who I am as a person. I refuse to be that guy, even though one of my best friends in the world is that guy. But to be able to look at it rationally is becoming less and less of a skill set. And there has to be some people who are willing to stand up and say, no, even though other people might have a hard time with the guy's character and things that he says and things that he tweets, just looking at policy. I'm going to cut through all the other nonsense. I'm just going to look at policy. And that's going to be the kind of voter that I am. So I hope that answers your question, 253. If that helps at all. Also, you know, we do live in a country where you don't have to tell anybody who you voted for. So no one will know that I voted for Kanye West. Thankfully, no one out there will know that I voted for Kanye West. I think we're up against a break. I did just want to touch on this really quick before we have to get out of here. According to the Daily Mail, this just came out today, the United States ranks not low, but lower than most when it comes to COVID-19 in terms of deaths and infections per capita. It is not the worst. So last night when we heard Joe Biden talk about how the United States is totally messed up its response to COVID-19, according to all of this information, while the numbers are high, when you break it down per capita, the United States often sits eighth or ninth compared to other major countries in terms of infections and deaths. So, again, to be a conscientious consumer, to say to yourself, well, certainly not the best, but certainly not the worst. And I think that goes to show how quick people are to try to make a determination just based on their gut feeling, just based how they feel about it, as opposed to just looking at the raw data as I have just presented here. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. When we get back, we're going to be doing awesome audio. Got a bunch of audio clips that I absolutely love from the day. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. I'm Jack Stein. I have been filling in for Mr. Dory Monson, which is an honor and a pleasure. And I will say that some people have tracked me down through my YouTube channel and they have written me very nice emails, which I appreciate. It is truly, sincere honor to be able to do it. And it's for me, coming from being a total loser about 8 years ago to now getting to this point to be able to broadcast on Cairo is a true, true privilege. And I would have never thought that would have been the case because I was just being a loser doing drugs behind a dumpster waiting to go play music for people who couldn't care less. And look at me now, Nicole. So let's do some awesome audio. Nicole, nice job, was saying Jack. That your favorite, thank you very much. you're saying that your favorite clip was, first clip was that sheriff telling all the celebrities that they could.
wait. Take off. Okay, well, we'll go with that one now because that was going to be number one. Now it's going to be number three because we count backwards, Jack.
I see.
Let's go with the sheriff. This is a sheriff from Ohio telling celebrities that he'd be happy to support their trips out of the country.
I hope you do leave. And if there's any way that I can help, I'm not a rich person, but I would be willing to throw in $10 to a special fund to help get you a flight or whatever it takes, a ship ride to whatever country of your choice. And maybe you can make a better life there in that country. This is the greatest country in the world to live, regardless of who the president is. You don't always get to choose the winner that you vote for, but it's the greatest country in the world to live. The rule is you can't come back. You have to stay there and make a better life for yourself. And hopefully you get along with that country that you choose. So I wanted to relay that message. Again, greatest country in the world to live, no matter who the president is. This isn't a presidential issue. This is a United States issue. And I love my country, and I put my hand over my heart when they play the national anthem, and I stand. Those of you that don't like it, leave for some. And again, I will help fund that trip. You just can't come back. Thank you, and God bless all of them.
See, I thought we were going like 1, 2, 3, but you wanted to go 3, 2, 1. So that was supposed to be the best clip of the day, and I messed it up.
But you know what? It was a toss-up, so I'm okay with this decision. It was kind of a toss-up.
Okay, and so next we're going to be talking about Bibi Netanyahu, and he's just so much praise for President Donald Trump. If you don't know, Bibi Netanyahu is the prime minister in Israel. He's a pretty cool guy, and he's saying, hey, President Trump, thank you so much for the peace deal that you've brokered between us and Sudan. And this is what that sounded like.
I mean, we're actually seeing the fruits of peace right now in these days after signing these agreements. I think that we've never seen anything like this. And I want to say one thing that I do see, an enthusiasm from most countries in the world, from most people in the world, across the political divide. Yeah, Iran is unhappy. Hezbollah is unhappy. Hamas is unhappy. But most everybody else is very happy. And they should be, because peace is a good thing. It's a very good thing. So if you ask me, what does it feel like? It's amazing, and it's fast.
They're also poor. Iran is poor. Hamas is poor. They're all poor. And they weren't poor 3 years ago. They were blowing everything up. They're very poor. Do you think Sleepy Joe could have made this deal, baby? Sleepy Joe. I think, do you think he would have made this deal somehow? I don't think so.
Well, Mr. President, one thing I can tell you is we appreciate the help for peace from anyone in America. And we appreciate what you've done enormously.
Yeah.
I have to stop myself from laughing every time I hear that clip. You hear Donald Trump come in and he goes, and they're poor. It's like so off. It's like, what are you talking about, President Trump? Oh, man. And then finally, Nicole, we have that.
They used to use their
awesome
money for evil. That was what he was saying. And now they took their money from them.
Yeah, which, by the way, him backing out of the Iran nuclear deal, probably one of the greatest moves that he could have done given that circumstance. He gets no credit for it whatsoever. The idea that we're shelling out money to Iran so they could make nuclear power plants, quote unquote, is ridiculous. And Trump backing out of that is just brilliant on his part. Final piece of audio is going to be the Russia clip because it sounds like something else. Let's play that really quick.
Joe, they're calling you a corrupt politician.
Nobody's
calling President Trump, I want to stay
hell
on the issue of race. We're talking about the issue.
From hell.
President Trump,
nobody.
We're talking about race right now, and I do want to stay on the issue of race. President Trump,
I have to respond to that.
Please.
Because look,
very quickly,
there are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plan. They have said that this is has all the character. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend, Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
And that's exactly
it.
What
is this
that's
where you're
exactly
going?
What
this is told. Where he's going. The laptop
right.
Is Russia, yes. Russia,
gentlemen,
Russia?
I want to stay on the issue of race.
You
okay?
Have to be kidding. Here
Mr.
we go
President?
Again with Russia.
Nicole, what does that sound like to you? The Russia thing? What does that remind you of?
Marsha!
I mean, I think it all goes through all of our heads. We just don't always talk
yeah,
about it. I just thought I would.
A little, yeah, totally. Nicole, thank you so much for being an A-plus super producer, as per usual. I really do appreciate...
thanks for your help this week, Jack, and last week.
The immense amount of work that you put into producing this show is tremendous, and everyone should write you good notes and say that you're wonderful and awesome. I'm Jack Stein. I've been filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. I will see you all next time, and thank you very much.
I will not have this in my studio.
You have failed conclusively. It's over.
And there is nothing that you can do here in this room that can turn that around. Nothing you can do that can make up for what you just did.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You really are a fantastic audience.